Hi, I'm David Kaplan, and you're listening to the Sports Talk Live podcast. Enjoy the show.
If you're a lottery dreamer, this is a big night. Bulls and Hawks, the battle for the bottom continues. Meanwhile, should the Bulls get nostalgic this summer and bring back a former MVP? Mitchell Trubisky getting ready to play with some of the best in the league. The Pro Bowl is Sunday, and the Beloved have seven players. They're ready to go. So with a heavy Chicago flavor, are you going to actually watch the game? And we are 2 days away from the start of Sox Fest, 3 weeks from the start of spring training. Will Manny Machado be signed before either of those days? We'll talk cold stove and more tonight on Sports Talk Live. Welcome into Sports Talk Live, presented by the Chevy Silverado. I am not David Kaplan. Let's meet the panel for today's show. It's a good group. NBC Sports Chicago, he's our Bears guy, J.J. Stankovitz. 670 The Score's Bears reporter and fugitive expert, Mark Grody. And from ESPN 1000, a man just glad to get a break from Cap every once in a while, he is Chris Bleck. So, guys, let's start with the basketball game tonight. So we got the Bulls coming into this game. They got 1 foot right over the three-point line because they have the fourth worst record in the NBA. You want to be bottom three if you're going to be at the bottom. Don't be fourth. This is an important game.
Problem is the Bulls are, I believe I saw they're 6-0 against the really awful, rancid teams in the NBA. So for whatever it's worth, they're kind of like the best of the awful.
Right.
And I feel like the Bulls have done their part this year, having had a 10-game losing streak. There's not much more they can do at this point. So, unfortunately, I feel like they're probably going to win this game and not be one of the worst teams.
Well, doesn't it seem like it's more of the same, though? Like, each and every year, we don't really know the true direction of this team. And even if they're trying to lose, they don't lose enough, which makes fans upset anyway. Because how do you watch Duke last night, Zion Williamson, and say, yeah, man, if we're not in the bottom three and we miss out on a guy like that, this is going to be a year that Bulls fans will never forget if they're just a little too good.
When any of those three, JJ, I'd take two or three guys in there.
But when Wendell Carter is stumping for them to draft Zion Williamson, it's like, if you don't get him, it's like, what was the point?
It's been a while since there's been like that guy in college basketball, Zion Williamson,
right,
where it's the hands down, got to get him, go for it type of guy. So, yeah, it'd be nice, but I don't think that they are one of the worst. I'd like them to be at this point. I don't think they end up being one of the worst.
They've got to be. You've got to do it right this time. You can't watch that game and not be like, that's the talent that I want on my team. Mark Potash had the tweet of the week, I think, posting that the Bulls have a 12-1 record against the last five teams in the last calendar year. 12-1 against the bad guys, if you're at the bottom, is not something you want to brag about necessarily.
Guys, cool it. Be the worst of the bad.
Yeah,
you don't want to be sort of ugly. If you're going to be ugly, right, be ugly.
Unfortunately, after the losing streak, they take out Cleveland the way they did, and that would have been the one. That would have clinched it. Had they lost to Cleveland on that day with all their players out, basically.
Right. Well, they've got them again.
Names,
yeah. They've got them again, too.
Yeah, but I think that they're better than Cleveland, aren't they? I mean, unfortunately, they
technically
are.
Technically, probably, and better than the Hawks, who they'll play tonight as well. But don't be too proud. Like that, I think that's the thing that you can give some positive feedback to the Bulls is they're a proud franchise, right? They don't want to tank and they don't want to be bad. They want to compete, right? And that's what John Paxson wants to do, is he wants to compete. The problem is competing at this level isn't going to get you anywhere. And it's no different than when they were competing and they were 41-41. You know, like 500, the eighth seed, isn't any different than what we're kind of doing right now. It's still going to get us to the same place at the end of the year. What we all want, especially all of us who have been Bulls fans our entire lives, is to get back to that championship level. And the only way that happens is by landing a number one star in this year's draft.
Do you believe that they have a guy that could be the number one star on the roster? Because I'm wondering if Markkanen could be that guy. Could LaVine develop into that guy? Or does that guy still have to be Zion Williamson or somebody else coming in the draft?
I don't know if Lauri Markkanen, we just haven't seen enough from him.
Could be very, very good, right?
Could be very, very good. I don't know if he's the number one guy. Like, I mean, you look at, you can have a team of very, very good players and you can wind up being the Toronto Raptors, but the Raptors haven't really like gone anywhere in the playoffs. You can have a team of two very, very good players and a great player, and all of a sudden you're actually at that championship contention level.
Yeah, and another team to kind of point out is, like, the Washington Wizards have had some pretty good players on their team for a few years now. What have they done? They've done almost absolutely nothing, right? Lauri Markkanen, I'm not ready to rule out that he won't be a star. Mm-hmm. I think Zach LaVine, I think we're starting to get enough of a sample size to realize that he'll probably never get to that level. So they're probably going to have to find that person either in the draft or in free agency and hope that Markkanen turns into that star number two, maybe three on a really good team.
It's obvious that Zach LaVine wants to be that guy, and I think that that's half the battle. That's good that he wants to be that guy. I haven't sensed, and I agree with you. I don't think that LaVine is ultimately the guy that you want, you know, in crunch time taking every single shot, which a superstar does and should do. I don't know if Lauri Markkanen has that gene, that want to be the killer at the end of games, and I know that they're with the injury this year that's thrown him off, but it's like he's just a guy a lot of times. Like,
we haven't seen him pop. Usually someone who has star potential has popped at some point to this point, right? Like, we've seen a few games from Lauri Markkanen all last season. I know he was hurt earlier in this year, but at some point it starts to have to click for you to say, hey, that guy's going to be a star.
He disappears way too much.
Yeah,
like, where you're like, where has Lauri been? Like, oh, there's Lauri. You know, and then he does something really good, but then he goes away.
By this time in Derrick Rose's career, we knew he was a very special player, right?
Yes.
I mean, that's the other guy in the conversation that we mentioned at the top of the show. D. Rose, would you bring him back as your point guard, your backup point guard?
Nope.
Are you totally done with D-Rose in any way, shape, or form?
I'm so glad this came up because the whole Minnesota, when he came back with Minnesota, that was awesome. To me, that was closure to the Derrick Rose story. He came back. He loved on everybody. They all loved on him. He had an excellent game. The whole thing, I felt like that was closure to the Derrick Rose era because obviously you're never going to have MVP Derrick Rose. So I say leave it alone. Leave it at that. It was great. It was a great ending to the Derrick Rose.
You guys are dead on this. It's he has improved this year, but I feel like the way this organization's ran, I don't think they need the issues of the past bringing them into the future. Just let it be. Hopefully he wins somewhere in the future with some team he can attach himself to and maybe get a championship or maybe come back to the Bulls once they're established. But I don't think that that's the move this offseason.
Look, you already gave that to Dwayne Wade and that didn't really work out.
Jabari Parker.
Yeah. Like, I think we're over the sentimental Chicago reunions with this franchise.
So when you watch the game tonight, how do you watch the game? Because that's been a trick for me all season long. It's like, I know that they need to be really bad to get Zion Williamson or whoever in the top three. How do you watch the game tonight against Atlanta? I watch a basket, I'm like, oh, that was a nice bucket. But then I think, well, maybe that's not what I should be rooting for.
What inevitably happens is I start off watching being like, yeah, whatever, I hope they lose. And then, like, if it's close at the end, I'm like, come on, like, win this game. But then if they don't, it's also like, well, okay, that literally doesn't affect my night at all, I'm just going to move on.
I want to see great individual performances by the Bulls. Like I said, like we were talking about Lauri Markkanen disappearing, I want to see him have one of those crazy good 30-point explode.
Yeah, but I want to see him have it against a good team and not the Hawks.
Yeah, but Luke is asking, what am I watching for? Every single Bulls game, at this point, I'm watching for great individual efforts from that core of players.
Well, it's development, right? So, like, if you can see Dunn or Markkanen do something that you can put in the back of your mind and say, all right, that's kind of moving in the right direction, I'm okay with the losing. Like, I can watch them and see the end score and say, all right, they weren't good enough tonight, but at least we know that Markkanen took 7 3-point shots. At least we know that Chris Dunn is moving the ball up the court. As long as we're seeing that stuff, I think that's a positive, and that's what I can get through.
Do you have a favorite moment from the Carmelo era so far? Is there something you really enjoyed?
He took out a full-page ad to thank the fans.
Thank the fans. Scott, you were terrific.
Very it's crazy. It's the same favorite moment I have from the Michael Carter Williams era.
I mean, I don't know what – do you think any kid out there ran out and got a Carmelo jersey in time for this?
It really is, like, just because of the Bulls recruiting of him
That
long ago, and then there and we all know it was just a classic NBA equal up sort of thing, but Carmelo was with the Bulls 3 years too late or whatever.
Somebody put on Twitter a photo that was used for that recruiting where it was Carmelo, Jimmy Butler, Derrick Rose, Joakim Noah, and you were like, man, that actually would have been a really That could have been a really dangerous team in the NBA.
For sure. They would have been really good.
Timing is everything.
I agree.
Yes,
life.
It is.
Yeah.
Unfortunately. All right, up next, the latest on Manny Machado. There is no news, I'll be honest. The White Sox hope to unveil him at this weekend's Sox Fest. Will he be signed by February? We're not sure. Mitch Trubisky and his teammates are taking part in the Pro Bowl this weekend. So does this mean Bears fans should actually watch the NFL's exhibition game?
Get all of your Blackhawks news in the palm of your hand with the My Teams app by NBC Sports. The best place to stream the games, watch highlights, read articles, and more. Download the My Teams app today.
Hey, watch, I'm going to go knock out that Patriots.
2 hours later.
I'm going to go knock this mask out.
There's no tackling in pro football anymore. That's the Jets' Jamal Adams taking out the Patriots' mascot as they get ready for the Pro Bowl. Not bad. It's a pretty good hit. Illegal, though. He leads with his head. I think he leads. I would flag that now.
Did you notice the Jaguars' mascot celebrating at the end? Like the only thing that mascot's had to celebrate this year?
Yeah.
I like the jump style, though.
I thought definitely not pass interference.
That's roughing the mascot.
We could review that.
Would the ref even see it?
Yeah, probably not. Right,
not
in front
worth
of
it. Yeah.
So we have 7 Bears ready to play in the Pro Bowl. 8 of them voted to the Pro Bowl. Do you have any interest in this? Because to me, this is the dumbest sporting event of the year. I would never, ever watch the Pro Bowl. And the only reason I would ever consider watching it again is because I don't want any of the Bears players to get hurt.
I like the way it looks. Like, I like to see. Like,
it looks warm.
It's
the helmets, right?
Yeah.
All the different helmets.
Okay. I do like looking at that. I probably will watch for maybe a quarter.
Come on. That much?
Okay, I'll give you 5 minutes.
That's the most I've ever heard.
I was going the other way. I'm going to be writing a column on Monday about how Mitch Trubisky, whatever he does in the Pro Bowl, is going to be so indicative of his 2019.
Yeah, yeah.
Season.
Look, if you could surround him with these guys, look how great he'd be.
Yeah.
Maybe not.
Or if you could surround him with people who don't tackle.
Yeah.
Explain this to me, though. All of us agree that it's a terrible event and we don't want to watch and we probably won't watch, right? Yet how does it do amazing ratings?
I don't know.
Because it's football.
Each and every year. It's crazy.
But it's not football. I don't know anybody that watches it.
It's football adjacent, and football adjacent still is good.
Who are the people watching this?
Well, there is nothing more flawed than the TV rating system, first of all. Nielsen's ratings.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, there's like 800 boxes in the Chicagoland area, and there's how many million people?
Right.
I don't know anybody that's had a Nielsen ratings box, and I don't know anybody that's watched the Pro Bowl for more than a half. So, Grody, you got a shot.
Somebody's watching.
I do think the broadcast can be interesting because then, you know, they put they mic up everybody. They do interviews with the guys on the sidelines. So, some of that yucking it up stuff is kind of interesting just to check it.
Like,
I
don't think it's the worst thing in the world sports-wise, but I do think that, like, for players, it matters, right? Like, for Akeem Hicks, this week matters so much because he's been working so hard to get to a Pro Bowl.
Right.
That it matters to guys like him. Whereas, you know, a guy like Khalil Mack who's been doing it forever, he doesn't need to come to the Pro Bowl. But I also think for Mitch Trubisky, I mean, what's the worst that can happen from hobnobbing with some great players for a couple days?
I say just vote him to the Pro Bowl. They don't have to play in a game. I don't need anybody hurt.
Well, you seem to have contempt for this game. Let's work through this.
I just think it's the All-Star Games, baseball's by far the best. Hockey and basketball, and then this one is just a joke.
Okay, Luke, so think about it this way. Another new offense for Mitch Trubisky.
Yeah, that's right. He's going to learn another offense.
Can he pick it up this week, and is he going to be able to run it?
The only thing that could come good out of this would be Mitch Trubisky walking around and convincing somebody who might be a free agent, hey, come to the Bears.
Yeah, I don't think that guy exists.
And I don't think that's happening. So now the only thing that can happen is somebody gets hurt, and that's the worst-case scenario.
I don't know. I think they'll go about it. And when was the last time someone got hurt in the Pro Bowl?
Yeah, they don't.
The guy that was playing flag football.
Ooh, yeah.
Beach volleyball or flag football.
Yeah. Beach game.
Okay,
yeah.
So just keep Mitch Trubisky away from the beach volleyball.
Keep him away from the sand.
Yeah.
Yes.
All right, baseball news. Manny Machado, we got Sox Fest coming up. All the Southsiders are thinking, is this the day? They're just waiting. Maybe they're just waiting to announce on Friday Manny Machado, and he comes running through the door. Maybe he's already signed. Or are we going to wait until the first week of spring training and he's still not signed?
Man, I don't think it's going to go that far, but I don't think he
will. Not that far away.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Well, what's the pressure on these guys to actually sign and be there before camp start?
That's true.
I don't think there is any, right? Couldn't they see how things unfold throughout the spring? They don't have to be there because they're good enough to say, hey, I'll figure it out once I show up.
What did an Arrieta sign last year? It was like
March.
It was a week before Phillies camp started.
Before, yeah.
Look, I mean, there's no – this is such a frustrating offseason because what both parties are doing right now in the Manny Machado standoff is the right thing to do. I was talking to Chuck Garfine about this and asking him, like, what are the chances that the White Sox would try to sign Machado to introduce him at Sox Fest? And he's like, 3%. It just wouldn't be a good business decision. But for Manny Machado, it's also a good business decision to wait and see if someone's going to swoop in. Maybe a good team wants to spend money. I don't know, what a like weird novel concept to sign him. But if that doesn't happen, then the White Sox should be like, well, we're just going to sit back and say, you know what, like, this is our offer. We can negotiate when you want. But right now, we're not going to go and up it just to get you in for a fan fest.
Or bid against ourselves.
Exactly.
Did this all start with Dexter Fowler in 2016? Was he like one of the first guys to really push free agency to like the bitter end
when he showed up
like the first day at camp?
Yeah, and then it went full force last year when everybody was signing late. Guys, Martinez, like, were not getting the contracts that they thought. So I think that right now, he has, I mean, let's just talk about Machado. He's got an offer. He knows that. And maybe the White Sox offer is the best, but he's going to hold out and wait until somebody piles on a bunch more dough.
If you're Manny Machado, you're probably like, okay, I'll wait to see what the Phillies do. And if the Phillies go and sign Bryce Harper, then you say, okay, well, go take the White Sox offer. But if Bryce Harper were to go somewhere else, and then all of a sudden the Phillies are like, well, wait, we earmarked $250 to $300 million for Bryce Harper. Let's just go give it to Manny Machado. Machado would be stupid to sign before Harper does, even though it looks like Harper wants to wait this out and wait for Machado to sign because it's the same deal. So now you just have this whole standoff that seems to have no end.
I do feel like the Phillies are getting one of those two guys.
Yeah, I agree.
I think somehow, I don't know where they're both going to go, but I think the Phillies get at least one of them.
Man, I can't rule out the Yankees and Dodgers. I just keep thinking that they're back, they're lurking. I mean,
well, isn't it the same thing that happened with Yu Darvish last year with the Cubs? You know, the Cubs didn't initially say that they were going to go after him, and then he was there. And then, well, we might as well go in and try and get this pitcher, right? So, like, I agree with you that it could be a Yankees or someone who has deep pockets
right.
who says, you know what, if all the White Sox are offering is this, why can't we get
Machado? You get a week before spring training and you say, okay, you know what, like, he's still out there, we didn't expect this,
right?
But you know what, okay, fine, we'll go give him 8 years, $250 million, and we're a good team, so he's going to come sign with us.
Are you crushed if you're the White Sox and you don't land him at this point?
I would be.
Yeah,
because you've been so in on getting Machado.
Well, there's been so much strong momentum towards it, so much legitimacy to it. I mean, obviously, they've been transparent about the fact that they met with him. They're signing players who are, you know, that
friends of his
or almost relatives. Right. So, like, the White Sox have done a lot towards getting this guy. So, yeah, if you're a Sox fan,
you're not ready to win now.
No.
Like, you're still a couple of years away from winning.
But this could
– Machado's 26.
Sure.
This could move the process up.
But it doesn't mean that there won't be free agents in the future either.
True.
Like this isn't an all or nothing type of offseason.
I agree. The best thing that could happen to the White Sox this year is not Manny Machado. It's Jimenez and Cease coming up and being superstars right now.
But if you added Machado
for
those
sure,
guys,
but I'm saying,
maybe you have the 2015 Cubs.
And then what do you
say? But, like, knocking Machado isn't going to say that, oh, you can't win a World Series this year. Like, you're not going to win a World Series this year.
I think this is fine and all, but I think you got to strike while the iron is hot. You can't say, okay, we didn't sign Machado, so you know what? Okay, we'll go make a run at Nolan Arenado or Mike Trout. Like, you have no guarantee that either of those guys are going to have the level of interest in your team that Manny Machado has. So if you have an opportunity to sign him, go do it.
Oh, it's not a bad thing if they sign him, that's for sure. I just think development of those young stars is even more important. Sunday, the Blackhawks scored 8 on the defending champs. Last night, they beat the best team defensively in the league. Are they finally turning things around, and could they make a run for the playoffs after this weekend's All-Star break? We'll talk about it next.
Ricky's boys don't quit, and neither does NBC Sports Chicago's coverage. Download the My Teams app by NBC Sports and get your White Sox anytime, anywhere.
Make sure you tune in tomorrow at 6 for Sports Talk Live. Joining Cap and the panel, White Sox manager Ricky Renteria to discuss the state of the rebuild as well as his meeting with Manny Machado. That's tomorrow at 6 right here on Sports Talk Live. All right, Blackhawks win again. What do you think? They've got some guys that are scoring. Kane's off to a terrific start so far this season. Looks like he's maybe in the MVP conversation despite being on a last-place team. Could they actually turn it around, or is this just a nice stretch that we're enjoying?
No, they have the second worst goal differential in the NHL. This is a nice stretch of two games. So, no, I'll believe it when that goal differential gets under, I don't know, 20. It's at, what, minus 34 right now?
At least they were wins against good teams.
Yeah.
And, you know, they weren't beating up nobody.
Well, the Blackhawks still have good players. They're just not a good team, and sometimes good players can beat good teams.
It is noteworthy to see Jonathan Toews bounce back this year.
Yes. Yeah.
So whatever you think for the future for this team, to see your two best players actually playing like your two best players is fantastic.
Well, right, and that's what made me think, too, that you still have these two guys that are, you know, I don't know. I would say they're probably, considering their ages, they're probably still in their prime, especially Kane. So I don't think that they're going to go to the postseason this year. But it did. Watching the shootout last night, it made me wonder if in the future or next year or the year after, can they build it right back up? Can you get back to being what the Blackhawks were, because you still have this mini core of excellent players?
Well, that's what they have to figure out. How far away are they from going from here to all the way to the top that quickly? Because we were throwing it around the newsroom yesterday. At what point, you figure, let's say Patrick Kane has six more elite years left in him,
mm-hmm.
because he's playing at a terrific level. If you don't think you're pretty close or could make that jump in a couple years, at what point would you ever consider starting to ship him somewhere where you could get things back?
Right, and you know, being
because he's so good, right, and he puts people in the seats.
Well, and that's a huge part. I mean, that's a huge part. The Blackhawks are very image conscious. They like having that stadium filled on a nightly basis, and a big part of it is Kane and Toews. It just is.
It's also the one sport where if you're the eighth seed, you have just as good of a mm-hmm. shot to
that's
win
true.
It all as the first seed. So it's not like you're that far away if you're almost.
That being said, though, you know, talk about the image and everything, I consider myself a Blackhawks fan. I admittedly have not followed them too much this year. Honestly, the first I've heard of Patrick Kane being in the MVP discussion was on this show 35 seconds ago. I didn't know that.
But you got
because,
your
come on.
But
DJ.
I know that they're
I'm
a bad team.
Mr. Goal Differential
is over.
It is. I need to pay more attention.
Mr. Goal Differential over here, you know, throwing out fancy things like that.
That's a wrap for Sports Talk Live. We'll see you tomorrow.
For Chicago Sports Talk with Sizzle, crank up the heat and turn on STL. Host David Kaplan brings his no-nonsense opinion to the table every weeknight on the topics that are trending with our teams. Sports Talk Live, presented by the Chevy Silverado, weeknights at 6 on NBC Sports Chicago.